Shit, buddy, what's on our show today?
On today's show, the Oscars were this weekend, and we got closer to the action than you could ever imagine. Plus, another headline will get inducted into the Headline Hall of Fame, a delicious new show sponsor you can really sink your tongue into, and we'll be talking to the man who's eaten the most Big Macs on Earth for the last 50 years. All this and much, much, many, much more. Let's start the fucking show! Bang, 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 bang. All hands on deck.
Oh yeah, folks! Welcome to the Brett DeMott Show
with Buddy,
the number one news and pop culture podcast in the world. I am your host, Brett DeMott, and joining me, as always, is my best friend and co-host, Buddy.
What up, y'all?
Together, we are the Big Silly News Boys, according to Alabama Senator Katie Britt.
Oh, wow.
Every week, we find the biggest, the dumbest, the weirdest, and wildest news from around the world, and then interview guests ripped straight from the headlines. We'll also go through some articles that you, our trusty reporters in the field, submitted to us this past week via our many social medias.
Submitted it.
That's right. Submitted it is canon now, folks. It's the way I say it, and I'm not going to try to hide it anymore. It's just the way it comes out. And from now on, I just say submitted it.
Submitted it.
It's. But folks, huge week, as Buddy said. Oscars were this weekend. Both Buddy and I had a time.
We had a time.
But before we get into any of that, we got a great guest later. And before we get to it, we got to do what we do every week, folks, which is check in with our Apple Podcast reviews. And this week, we're using this opportunity to stick it to somebody. I'm kidding. But we got a review last month from E.R. Turner, and the subject reads, "It's fun and delightful." And the body goes on to read, "They constantly lie about starting a Patreon, but it's still a good show."
Well,
and
E.R.
Turner, well. Are we lying?
Are we?
No, we're not anymore, folks. That's right, yeah. Because you can go right now to patreon.com/Brett DeMott Show and join the Patreon. Folks, that's right. We started a Patreon, and you can go there right now and subscribe. You can subscribe for $5, or if you really love the show and you just want to pay us a little bit more, you can subscribe for $10 a month. And what do you get when you subscribe to the Patreon, folks? You get videos of every episode from since February 24th forward. You get audio of the entire back catalog as the free feed slowly creeps into the future. Older episodes will become paywalled, and you'll only be able to get those at the Patreon for the Brett DeMott Show. You also get a weekly bonus headline segment that will drop on Fridays, which will be, I guess we'll say, the most DeMott-y DeMott show stuff that you'll ever see.
I like to call it Too Hot for TV.
Too Hot for TV, Too Hot for your podcast app. It ain't going to be sex.
Too Hot for pod.
We ain't going to do like sex or like pornos or anything. It's just stuff that's maybe a little more like,
not
going to
do sex or pornos.
No, we will not do sex or pornos, but we will do stuff that's a little too weird for the main show.
Our first one is this week and is wild.
First one will be coming this Friday, and you'll be able to get video, and you'll also be able to get audio exclusively from the Patreon. But you'll also get access to my old Twitch talk show, How You Been with Brett DeMott, that featured tons and tons of my old friends who are who look suspiciously like famous comedians such as Paul F. Tompkins, Lauren Lapkus, John Gabers, Nicole Byer, Mary Holland, Dan Lippert, Drew Tarver, just a myriad of people. And you also get access to our Discord, where you can chat with me and Buddy, meet our awesome listeners and community, and send us links to articles that you think we should cover on the show, which will ultimately be probably where we end up pulling a lot of the content for the show will be from Patreon, but still send us stuff. If you can't subscribe to the Patreon, absolutely no worries. Still listen to the show, still send us stuff on social media. And if we can, we'll get some stuff into the show from you. Do not stop. never stop, never stopping, folks.
Thank you.
But then we also got a another review from Rosie Dragons that reads, "Nice scheme you've created by using 5-star reviews as a chat forum."
Thank you. I mean,
the show's probably good enough for 5 stars, but I've only actually listened to an episode and a half. So you'd better live up to this.
All right. Well,
I certainly hope so, Rosie. I hope we do.
Yeah. Well, we game that system, and sometimes the system gains us. Because we got another review from Dave Patterson that says, "You two are great." It says, "Hi, Brett and Buddy. I heard about the word count limit for reviews, and I'll be honest, it's put me in my head about how valuable each word is now that there is a scarcity factor." We told everybody we'd read the whole thing if they posted it, and he's gaming us here. "So with that in mind, I'm going for broke, and I'm going to share some of my favorite adjectives so this review is high quality enough to be worthy, quote, the podcast. Cast formerly known as the podcast, the greatest news and pop culture podcast in the world." All right, so he's given us a big list of adjectives, which I will now regame the game, I will read this in the style of Bubba from Forrest Gump, and I'm going to add the word shrimps to the end of each adjective. Ancillary shrimps, bucolic shrimps, columnar shrimps, dilapidated shrimps, ephemeral shrimps, fleeting shrimps, grandiose shrimps, haggard shrimps, illustrious shrimps, jocular shrimps, kempt shrimps, that's a good one, liminal shrimps, maudlin shrimps, neurotypical shrimps, oligarchical shrimps, preternatural shrimps, quantitative shrimps, and regrettable shrimps.
Wow, very good, buddy. Very good.
Yeah,
we got you, Patterson.
Yeah, we got you back.
You gamed you us, to get we game us. You.
Yeah, we get games all over town. And if anybody's looking, I'm trying to get my voiceover career off the table.
Buddy wants to get his voiceover career off the table, folks. He wants to be told no definitively. He doesn't want to keep the dream alive.
And just so y'all know, I do all of the voiceover classics. I can do Christopher Walken. I can do Arnold Schwarzenegger. And of course, like all great voiceover artists, I can do Owen Wilson.
Well, folks, so speaking of Walken, Schwarzenegger, and Owen Wilson, the Oscars were this weekend, folks, on Sunday, and boy, was there a lot going on. A couple of notable things that happened at the Oscars. Gosling sang "I'm Just Ken" to epic praise.
Oh, wow, awesome. What fun was that?
Oppenheimer, of course, took home a lot of the big prizes. Yeah. Godzilla minus one won Best VFX, and all the crew were wearing shoes that had Godzilla claws on them. Look up a picture. Fun. Very cool. Emma Stone's dress broke right before she was about to accept her speech. And then, of course, there was the John Cena nudity element, which I'm sure everyone's familiar with. And, you know,
just slid that burp right in there.
Yeah, nobody even knows. Nobody even knows I burped. But look, everybody knows that we like to get in on the action, folks.
Yeah.
And you know what? We decided, what better way to do that if we call ourselves the number one news and pop culture podcast in the world?
That's what we call ourselves.
If we call ourselves that, what better way to get the scoop straight from the horse's mouth than to go to the Oscars and try to do that? Right. So we applied for press credentials and were summarily denied. Just
very quickly.
So quickly. It felt like before I hit send on the email, we got a reply and they said no. But we did come across some job postings.
Mm-hmm.
On Craigslist for sort of temporary work at Dolby Theater on Sunday, which we both kind of assumed, oh, that means PA work or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That means, you know, some kind of cool job to do during the Oscars.
Yep.
And so Buddy and I both applied. We both kind of opposite scenario. We sent the email, immediately got a reply.
We got it.
And I, of course, applied, and I got I was hired as a stand-in, which in the Oscars parlance, you think, oh, that's seat filler. So I threw a suit on. I went, and I thought I was going to be a seat filler, but it turns out when I got there that I was going to be a rehearsal stand-in for John Cena.
Oh.
Which is wild to me when you look at my body versus his. Mine is, of course, beautiful in every way, and his is disgusting.
So they needed you to do They needed you to like shuffle on stage because you're probably the same height as him. Y'all are both tall.
Yeah, we're pretty tall. We're both pretty tall. But no, I originally was uncomfortable with it because I don't feel like I am a good substitution for John Cena. I didn't even know what the bit was. And then they bring me in there and they're like, all right. They start snapping their fingers at me and they're like, all right, get it off. And I'm like, what do you mean? So they make me get totally naked. And folks, they made me do the whole rehearsal completely naked. And let's just say
they made you go out. They made you do the naked shuffle all the way back and forth.
Yes. And folks, the wardrobe person was not there. So I did not have a modesty belt. And they also didn't have the envelopes yet because they were still in the vault to keep them safe before the ceremony. So they just basically had me go out there just fully in the buff and do the whole thing.
Did you cup?
I cupped.
Did you like I red, cupped, red which hot chili fine. Peppers cup?
No. I hand cupped. I didn't sock cup. But the, folks, I've seen a take on the internet that I think is hilarious with everybody saying that John Cena was required to do this as some sort of Illuminati humiliation ritual.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you that this was not at all that. And if it was, the Illuminati is very invisible. Or maybe I was sort of the one who had to do the Illuminati humiliation ritual.
Oh, God, are you in?
I don't know if I'm in or not. I don't think I'm in. Nobody sort of said anything to me about the Illuminati, so I'm assuming that it's not me.
Did they play any, like, weird music, like, on the speakers? Like, any, like...
There was sort of this droning kind of sound that sounded like the sound of, like, a drill that was, like, working above to put something in... Like to like hang some stuff, but it was consistent for the full hour of rehearsal. And then I did before and after I was sort of walked into the basement of the Dolby Theater and put in a room, that was completely black, no windows, blindfolded, and they put a little that you put on your nose to go when you jump into the water. To make water not go up your nose.
Okay.
And they just sat me in this closet for the 30 minutes before rehearsal and 30 minutes after. And then when I came out, nobody looked me in the eyes and they just kind of shoved me out the back of the Dolby Theater. And so it was traumatizing. It was embarrassing.
You were just sat there in the dark by yourself. Was there candles? Was there anything on the ground?
No candles. I couldn't see the ground.
Does it smell like anything?
Kind of like, I mean, they plugged my nose, so I couldn't smell anything. And I also didn't hear anything other than sort of what sounded like people shuffling around me in a rhythmic fashion.
Uh-huh.
Just kind of rhythmically shuffling around me and like sort of kind of sounded like some sort of dance or like choreographed routine. So
do you think that's why earlier you said you didn't think you'd slept in 3 days?
Yeah, I haven't slept. I definitely haven't slept since Sunday. And I just thought I was inspired. But now I'm worried. Now that I'm sitting here saying it all out loud, yeah. I'm worried that maybe I was part of some sort of Illuminati humiliation ritual.
I'll just say that. You do look pale.
Mm.
I think your hair is lighter.
Mm-hmm.
And you have been like just like looking around more recently.
Right. That's interesting. That's interesting. I haven't noticed it. I haven't noticed that. But
you just You just look fully around.
Huh. All right. Well, it's something to keep an eye on, I guess. But we haven't even talked. I haven't talked to you since Sunday. And you, if I remember correctly, you were a bathroom attendant, right?
I was a men's bathroom attendant. That was wild. I thought it was going to be fun. You know, you're going to get to run into a bunch of people. Nobody was real chatty in there. I did try to like, you know, what's up?
Yeah.
How you doing?
Rub elbows here and there.
Rub elbows. Ask people, you know, what their favorite movies and stuff is. But like they're...
Ask I'm just going to say this. What your favorite movie is.
I will say this. For a big event like this, it was, and I'm sorry, everybody, if you won't cover yours for this, a lot of what I can only describe as nervous squirts. Like, you know when people get nervous and they have to remove their bowels?
We all do that.
Yeah. A lot of just like guys coming in there and just absolutely blasting off. Like, it was gnarly in there.
Yeah.
But Killian Murphy actually had nervous squirts every commercial break. He came in every time. He was so nervous. And the last time he came in, he didn't make it all the way to the toilet. And
this before or after he won the award?
This is before. Absolutely messed his pants. he had removed them. I could hear it like rustling. He had like put them up on the door. I saw them on the door. And he was just like panicking. And then I was like, I know what's going on. I was like, yo, Killian, what's up? I see you shit your pants. I was, you know, and as a bathroom attendant, you have to wear nice clothes.
Right.
In Dolby.
Right.
I said, bro, I got you.
You switched pants with Killian.
Take
Murphy.
My pants. We're about the same size, just two small guys. He took my pants. They fit perfectly. They looked exactly like his. I unfortunately had to take his. I did get fired because they thought I did shit my pants because I couldn't cover that up. But I did a solid for Killian. And I got like a selfie with him later.
That's awesome.
He was really thankful.
Posted that selfie. I didn't want to say it because it made me feel a little jealous, but you posted a selfie with Killian Murphy at the Vanity Fair after party.
Yeah, he invited me to the Vanity Fair after party. He actually gave me $5,000 to go get a new outfit. Cash.
Right.
You looked like
I can only describe as like
disco
like,
chic.
Yes.
Yeah, dude. I basically just like kind of bought a bunch of clothes. You know, it's just right there on Hollywood Boulevard.
Huh.
So I just kind of like popped into some stores, got some.
And then
serious,
you went and hung out with Killian Murphy all night at the
Killian
Vanity
Murphy,
Fair party.
We had a dang ball at the Vanity Fair.
He didn't like give you his phone number or anything afterwards, though, did he?
I'm on a group chat. I'm on an Oppenheimer group chat now.
An Oppenheimer group chat. Who's on it?
Everybody. Robert. Robbie's on there. We call him Robbie. We call him Robbie.
Wow, Chris.
Yeah, Knowles is on there.
Knowles?
Yeah, what? big Knowles.
Is Hoyt von Hoytema on there, the DP?
Yeah, but he's not very active, though. He only sends, like, really pretty gifts.
Right.
That's all, kind of all he does. He's just always kind of locked. Everybody says he's always kind of locked in.
that makes sense.
But yeah, it's been cool. It's been cool.
Two very different
honestly, like a pretty honestly, like one of the best nights of my life. Easy. Easy.
Huh. I guess a little bit of contrast between our two nights. You seem to join the Hollywood elite, and I seem to maybe potentially be part of some sort
of
Illuminati ritual.
They love me. Nolan said he was going to check out this episode. Old Nolesy, my guy, no-no. I like to call him Lynn.
The last part of his last name.
Lynn said he was going to check this out. That's why I did that voiceover thing at the top with my walk-in and stuff, because, baby, might get that agent.
Okay, well, I hate the difference between our two nights.
Look, just because I had a great time and you may have had your soul ripped out of your body is not...
That's not what happened.
You still had fun. You were on stage.
I think they were just trying to confuse me so they didn't have to pay me. They just shoved me into a closet and confused me so they didn't have to pay me. I don't think I was part of some sort of Illuminati humiliation initiation, folks. All right? So don't get scared. Keep listening to the show. I'm not weird now. I promise I'm not weird. But, folks, we got a lot of other stuff to talk about. Specifically, we have a guest on the show today.
Mm-hmm.
We reached out to this guest after an article was sent to us by Joe Caswell on Instagram, who I believe is the new submitter. 2 weeks in a row, we're going to have to hit the new submitter theme, buddy.
That's awesome. Let me just do it right now.
I think it's time for another remix of this.
Baby. It needs to be longer.
Oh, that's right, Joe. Thank you so much for the article. And we were thankful when we reached out to this guest and he replied. And the headline reads... Man who has eaten a record 34,000 McDonald's Big Macs says People thought I'd be dead by now. That's right, folks. A U.S. man has extended his record for the most McDonald's Big Macs eaten in a lifetime to more than 34,000. That's right. Don Gorski first gained the Guinness World Records title in 1999 and has now extended his record after eating 728 more Big Macs in 2023.
This year alone.
Yep, that's right. Well, that would be last year, buddy. It is 2024 now.
Whatever.
Yeah. He used to consume 9 Big Macs daily.
God damn it.
But has now cut it down to 2.
How do you do that?
1 for lunch and 1 for dinner. In order to maintain his health, he doesn't eat French fries and walks 6 miles a day.
Okay.
That's right, folks. Many people thought I'd be dead by now, he says, but instead, I've been a record holder for my 24th year. One of Guinness World Records' long-running record holders.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool to me, he said. Gorski, a prison officer from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, ate his first Big Mac in 1972 after he gained media attention for his burger consumption. Inmates at the prison he worked at would mock him with relentless verbal abuse.
Damn.
And folks,
that's rough.
This is an incredible story. This is so many Big Macs. I wish I'd eaten half of this many Big Macs, but we know we're both partial to Wendy's. On this show.
But Big Macs is good.
Yeah. Big Macs is good. And we are so incredibly excited, folks, because we reached out to Don Gorski ourselves, and we asked him if he would like to come on the show and talk about this, one of the longest Guinness World Record holders of all time. And, folks, he said yes. So welcome to the show, Mr. Don Gorski. Don.
How are you doing, boys? Oh, not good.
Don, I can see you sort of visibly sweating. Your beard is kind of looks like it's kind of matting up and getting all
shredded
stringy.
Lettuces there, I think.
Yeah. Thousand Islands or secret sauce, I think, is in the beard as well. I'll tell you, I think I just haven't felt the same since I've cut back on Big Macs.
Hang on, so you think the reason you're feeling bad today is actually because you cut back?
Yeah.
I think so. Personally, I think so. Hey, shut up. Sorry, one of my prisoners is acting up. I just like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, you are at prison.
Oh, Don. I didn't know you were going to be calling in from work. If you have stuff to tend to, I mean, you don't have any, you don't
oh,
need
no,
to
it's
stay
okay.
on.
I tell them to shut up every so often. They're fine.
Well, Don, I think a lot of people
out
there.
You know how I got in my jail cell? That making a murderer guy is in here.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're in Wisconsin. That makes sense that he's up there. Wow.
We got the death row so-so guys, the guys that we're not really sure about.
Did they get their own wing?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They're like kind of
maybes
just in case. Yeah.
Yeah, I got the maybes. Let me tell you, don't shut up because they're always saying, I'm innocent. I say, shut up. You know, that's how it goes. Yeah.
Well, geez, Don, I got to say, a lot of people they probably heard this story, and then you got on and you said you weren't feeling well, and I think they probably all attributed it
to the 34,000
Big Macs. But what in the last few months when you've cut back?
Seven what, now. You were at what, 9 a day, mm-hmm. and you cut back to just 2 a day.
Things
so you trimmed 7 Big Macs a day.
And I think that it has taken a toll on my health. Yes, I do believe so.
In what way?
Things just don't feel to be. I mean, look, since I started this project, I would eat.
It's a project. I love hearing it called a project.
In the early days of the project, when I would eat 9 Big Macs.
Yeah.
Honestly, part of it is why I think I was a little bit more regular, and you know, 9 Big Macs a day would equal, you know, 10 to 12 bowel movements. I decided that I need to work somewhere where there were multiple toilets, so I decided, where is there more toilets in a prison?
So, wait, so you just jump into different cells?
It's part of the project when you were coming up with it was that you needed to get a job at a prison.
Mm-hmm. Wow, my occupation is a part of the project. Yes, I so
like when they go to the yard, you basically have your run of any toilet in the place.
100%. I'll kick them out of I'll kick them out of the cell. I'll do my business, and then they come back in and. They usually, I let them flush it for me if that's okay with them.
It's okay with them.
I love hearing about it in this technical of a term and the way that you call it a project. I'm interested, actually, that makes me want to go back to the beginning. That makes me want to go back to sort
Let's
of the
talk
pre-
about it.
Yeah. Pre-Big Mac days
this
of Don
is,
Gorski.
This is early 70s. I mean, you started in 72, so this is like early 60s or 70s. Like, when about did the project like come about?
Year one for me, the Big Mac's year one is when the project started.
Yeah, right, of course. The first Big Mac you ate was the project's beginning. The project commenced.
I thought that, you know, there's no one who's ever done like a food project like this. You know, you see you see art projects, you see TV projects,
yep. Right.
You see movie projects, a lot of different projects. No one's ever done something that on the Big Mac, you know, and I thought that I could kind of stand out, maybe make some money, get one of those arch cards, you know, the arch right. cards for life where you get the kind of the black card where you can get any McDonald's item forever, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Turns out McDonald's not that interested in my story.
Why? You're showing that, you know, it's a sustainable way to eat. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you know, for all the negative things people say about fast food, you're a living, mostly breathing.
Well, this is where it gets into it, you know, and this is kind of what my project evolved into. A lot of people thought I'd be dead by now.
Mm-hmm. Right, as you said in the article, yes.
A few doctors have said they don't understand why I'm not dead.
Doctors can't figure out how you're alive.
I went in for an echocardiogram, and they said in about a day, my heart beats about twice per day.
Wow.
Is it two pumps, or is it just slowly pumping?
I think it's just a slow pump over
so
the day.
So your heartbeat is more like a moan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like bagpipes.
Can you hear that?
It's like bagpipes.
Yeah, there was a hum. I thought it was a ceiling fan.
That's why it's evolved into more of like a human project. It's like, how am I?
Right.
How am I living, I guess, is the question.
Oh, right. So as a project, it's like, mm-hmm. Is your body the canvas? Is your bowels the canvas that you are creating this artwork around?
In a way, hold on, let me take my shirt off for a second. Do you guys mind?
No,
go for it.
So you see that there's purple blotches all over my body?
Yes.
Yeah.
So doctors have told me that is dead tissue.
It's the same color as Grimace.
It is.
It's a Grimace colored skin.
Which, yeah, I was going to say, I saw the TikTok that you posted when the Grimace Shake stuff was going around. Mm-hmm. I've actually been following you online for a while, and the Grimace Shake trend was going around on TikTok.
Oh, yeah, people. I did a video. Yeah. I just did a normal video, and then people were terrified. They thought I was Grimace.
And people started to to stitch your TikTok of you doing just a regular video, mm-hmm. and they were shaking their head no.
Yes,
and they were hashtagging Grimace Shake, the original Grimace Shake.
It got caught up in everything else, but yes, the difference was is that it was Grimace and people shaking their heads no, they didn't like that. And
right.
That is why it was called my project was in that moment was the Grimace Shake project.
Right. And so, see, I understand, though. I think I was struggling to get it a second ago, but now I understand. So now the project is almost like pushing the limits of human adaptability.
Like an extreme athlete, like ultra marathoners. It's like kind of like in that type of people who swim across the ocean,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's human feats.
it is human feats. I'm honestly wondering how much of my body can be dead tissue before I before my heart stops beating. You know, that's a part of it. Uh-huh. And I'm so pissed. I'm pissed at Avery, Steve Avery, who's in the jail cell over here. He gets a documentary. No one really cares about me. No one gives a shit about me. I'm basically close to a member of the living dead. Everyone likes zombie stuff. No one cares about me.
It's so interesting you say that, Don, because I remember when that documentary, the Making a Murderer documentary came out, there was like stories that sort of circulated about someone who was in the background of the shoots for this documentary that was trying to sort of like get in on the interviews, like sort of get the cameras to follow him. And I'm assuming now, I don't want to connect dots that don't need to be connected, but I'm assuming that that might have been you.
That was 100% was me. If you notice the big purple man in the background of a lot of the shots, and Making a Murderer. I told the investigators that being someone who is partially, you know, 70% of my body is dead tissue, I thought that I could be helpful in the investigation. I know what it's like to be dead.
Right, you have such a unique perspective. Yeah. It's like I'm seeing this as like a CSI or like whatever, one of these shows that's like
from a behind the grave kind of a thing. You can almost communicate with the dead because you're mostly dead.
There's a lot of, you know, there's the kid, the doctor who has autism is one of the kids. And then there's a lot of people that, you know, there's the clairvoyance. I'm saying, what if the guy is that he's dead tissue and that way he relates to the dead and he can figure out mysteries.
Right.
That's a different project I'm working on.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's
maybe
good.
He has to put his dead body onto the dead bodies, and then it's like symbiosis.
I attempted that. They got very mad that I was laying on top of evidence, is what they said.
Jeez, they just don't get it, Don. They just don't get it. And I think that the reason that these people don't get it is because I do think, like, in general, humanity has a very narrow perception or conception of what a art project or a like performance project or any of these things. They have a very narrow conception of what to consider.
I agree.
Worthy of pursuing. And so when you go in there and you're pushing the envelope and thinking so far outside of the box,
the bun, you could say. I'm a Big Mac guy. That's fun.
Right, exactly.
That's which fun also comes in a box.
Yes.
That's true. That, you know what?
Writing to take it out a big pen and writing down something in a notebook right now.
I'm writing down some material right now.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, if you didn't know, the people, I just want to clear things up on the Making a Murderer thing. I was in the background a lot during the documentary and also in a lot of the evidence tapes. There's like me in the background.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I had nothing to do with everything that went on. I was friends with Stephen Avery, but I was not. I didn't have anything to do with it, okay?
Yeah. No, we would never want to make a
nobody
connection
even said anything about that.
No. The fact that the victims had remnants of Big Mac sauce on their hands meant nothing.
Yep. No, we're not pressing you.
I got nothing to hide. Right. I got nothing to hide.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, Don, like, I mean, here's what I'll say. It sounds like if you've given up 7 of 9 Big Macs, you've probably got more time on your hands these days because you're going, you're making less trips to McDonald's.
Yeah.
You're spending less time eating. What are you doing with those other meals in your day and with the extra time on your hands?
I'm hitting up Burger King, Kentucky Fried Chicken.
So you're still... So you're still okay. So is that why you think you feel bad? It's because other fast food places have less quality.
You know
than
what?
That?
I never thought of that. I eat 2 Whoppers a day.
Okay, so that's
I eat 2 cheesy gordita crunches a day.
Okay, yep.
I ate 2 cheesecas. You know, the pizza, the pizza chicken, the chicken pizza thing from KFC. That's new.
It's new. It's brand new. Yeah, you gotta try it. Yeah,
I've never heard of that.
Yeah,
you never heard of cheesecake?
Is the bread chicken? What
bread
is it?
Chicken. The bread is chicken. It's actually one of the, I think it's one
is
of actually.
The breadest chicken?
The breadest chicken. I think it's one of the most interesting projects I've seen from KFC in a long time.
I think what's interesting about KFC is it's now one of many projects, quote unquote, from KFC where they have replaced a carb with chicken.
Yeah,
which
I
think is actually genius. And if your whole thing is chicken, use the whole bird. You know what I mean? Like,
I agree.
I think you should be able to get a meal from KFC that every part of it, every element is chicken.
KFC has a bunch of different projects. I enjoy all of them. McDonald's projects. I like the cheeseburger project. I like the hamburger project. Now, a lot of people try to correct me and say these are just menu items, but they, in a way, those are projects.
That was somebody's project.
Yeah, because they're also evolving, you know? Mm-hmm. McDonald's is always working on the recipe, you know? It's not like the Big Mac that we had today tastes exactly like... Well, actually, I guess you're probably the only person who probably knows very specifically if the Big Mac of today tastes the same as the Big Mac from the 70s.
Completely, completely different. Back in the day...
Right, exactly.
It tastes... It's pretty vile by comparison now than what it used to be. So this has become
vile is a strong word, Don.
Yeah. To quote Creed. I don't know if you've listened to any of Creed's projects, but I've created a bit of my own prison.
I was going to say, there's only a few lyrics I can imagine would work in that context, and that was the one that I thought was coming.
God, my so sacrifice many... not going to work as well. My sacrifice is giving up the 7 Big Macs per day.
Because if you said that this was your sacrifice, it would imply that you this isn't a good thing for you, which we would never imply such a thing, you know?
Yeah.
But I get it.
I'm not a healthy guy, as you see. I'm not healthy.
Well, you're 70% dead tissue. So.
Does
that count against your health, though? If how healthy is the 30% that's alive?
Very, very healthy.
The 30% that is alive has to be so alive to keep the 70% dead along with you.
The doctor he tested my 30% of my living tissue. Against Usain Bolt's living tissue, and I actually have healthier. My living tissue is actually healthier.
How did the doctor
get that sample from Usain Bolt?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. He's very fast, is what you're implying. Right?
But that makes sense to me because I've always thought that athletes push themselves too hard. You know, I've always thought that they push themselves so hard to the point where their body just breaks down. And that's why you got like these athletes, these football players in their like 50s and 60s who are just like their hearts are exploding. And like you got professional wrestlers whose hearts are exploding. And a lot of people are out there saying it's probably steroids, or with the case of football players, it's traumatic brain injuries. But I think that it's that they've pushed themselves so hard for their whole career that they deteriorate and fall to pieces.
I agree with you. I mean, if you test my resting heart rate on any given hour, it can be zero, you know, because I get 2 beats per day.
Right. It is perceived as 0 beats per minute. That's how doctors have to say it, right? They have to say it's your heart rate is technically 2 beats per minute if you are per day. Yeah. But it's perceived as 0 beats per minute, which
is something like 0.0002 beats per minute, something like that. There's some breakdown, but you know, find me an athlete who can pull that off. There's
exactly,
not one.
They
I can actually see. I believe this is correct. I can see a vein on your neck. And I can see your blood moving, and it is very slow.
Yeah, the coagulation of the blood.
It's just like a chain of lumps that are just like slowly going. Because your blood makes what, 1 loop a day or something?
Yeah. So it hardens up a little bit.
Right.
That came about in year 7, is when that first started the show. Mm-hmm. That was 1969, the Summer of Love.
I would love to have
let
been
me
there.
Tell you, I can't tell you how many people tripping out on acid came up to me at Woodstock.
I bet.
And said, you're purple, man. I said, I know I am. I am purple.
You probably convinced a lot of people that they were way higher than they actually were.
Yeah, I think that I scared quite a few folks at Woodstock. Yeah. I think I scared them straight. A lot of the hippies that turned into yuppies, they saw me at Woodstock, and I think that they went straight.
They got scared. Well, that, I mean, man, I'll tell you what, Don, I've never heard in my entire life of someone whose blood is essentially turning into scabs inside their veins. And that is, I'll be honest with you, it's terrifying to me. And it does make me sort of have the reaction that I think a lot of people have had to you of, how is this guy not dead by now? Because it seems like if that's what's going on. But you, I mean, you yet again are proving every single day that what we don't know about human resilience and human adaptability is incredible. You're a specimen.
I'm lucky in that the 30% of my body is my head, which is a good 15% of my body. And then I got one, my right arm, as you see, my right arm does work, and then my left leg.
Right.
So.
And it looks more like just your right elbow works, because it does look like the hand is a bit floppy.
The hand is a bit floppy, as you can tell. But the elbow works, so it works as kind of a delivery device.
Right. It more so works to convince other people that you have full motor function. It doesn't necessarily work the way that I think hands would work. And I'll be honest with you, being a prison guard or prison officer is tough work. I'm trying to now imagine.
He must be terrible with keys.
Yeah.
God, it must take forever.
Yeah. No, it's a big issue. I have key cards for every prison cell.
Oh, that's
okay.
They accommodate it. That's great. That's incredible that your prison accommodates your needs like that. There's not a lot of jobs that would do that.
It's an Apple prison. It's one of the last things that Steve Jobs.
It's a prototype prison that Steve Jobs got off the ground before he grew up.
That's right. They were one of the last things that he wrote up was I think the prison was what they wanted to call it. It's very white, as you can see. It's full white. All of the prison guards are dressed like the Mac Help guys, when you go to the MacBook store.
Lots of dark colored polo shirts and little Apple emblem on the breast pocket area. It's weird that Steve Jobs kind of just like peaced out without really publicizing that as much, but I guess it does kind of go against his like image in a certain sense. So maybe he didn't want people to know that was the legacy he was leaving, I guess.
Yeah, you know, it's annoying because when it malfunctions, we got to unplug the prison, and it's kind of it is a death row. I know it's a bunch of maybes, but still, it is a death row. So right. Like when the prison's unplugged, those guys could escape. You know what I mean? Like
right.
Everything's constantly having to be charged.
Yeah. Yes.
The doors have their own plugs.
We got USB-C. We got Thunderbolt. We got all different kinds of chargers.
We're switching over to USB-C. And it's just a mess. We lost like 7 prisoners because of that.
Jeez, Don. Yeah. Well, that's tough, man. Well, Don, honestly, man, we got to let you get out of here shortly, man. Yeah. And we truly appreciate you being on the show.
I don't know how they have not made a documentary about you.
I actually think truthfully, like just like true, just truth of life in real life.
Yeah.
I don't know how they have not made a documentary.
Yes, but you say truthfully, you're talking about me, just truthfully my story.
Yes. Yes. Your story. It's
unbelievable,
just incredible
twists and turns.
Yeah.
And it probably has to do with a lot of like my political beliefs.
Okay. No. I just didn't realize that you are friends with Steve Avery, who I believe was maybe a little bit a little off. So maybe that could have something to do. Also, that you were friends with the Making a Murderer guy,
and that you also might have had something to do with it.
Yeah, and I don't know, because of my purple skin, I don't think you noticed that my hat was red. I think the purple and red.
It did blend in. I didn't want to ask. I couldn't tell if that was just not your skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if maybe just like the top of your head was just inexplicably bleeding because Man. Well, geez, Don, I know you got a lot to do at the prison, so we will let you go here. But man, thank you so much for being on the show and telling us your story. This is just absolutely incredible. And I know that everybody out there now has empathy for you, which is what the point of this this show is.
Just, you know, getting my project out there and letting people know about it means a lot to me. I'm gonna probably go take a shit in Steve Avery's cell. And you know what? We got a new prisoner coming in. Let me tell you, it's going to be a rough night for him. You know who it is?
Who is?
The Hamburglar.
No way!
Yeah, we got him.
They finally got him.
We got him,
folks.
They're
going to
wheel him in on a cart. Just all locked up, Hannibal Lecter style.
We got the Hamburglar, folks. Wow.
Charge all the doors.
Yeah, oh, the charge of the doors right now. Do you remember Obama's, like, we got him? Remember how Obama said we got him? I know, I don't want to get in my thoughts on Obama. I'll just give you, you know, I don't like, I'll say that
I could gather.
But for me, when, you know, I delivered the news of we got him about Hamburglar to all the prison guards, and it was very much like that moment. It was, to me, it was more important than the Osama bin Laden, Osama Obama moment. Same difference. Okay, see you boys later.
Don, thank you so much, Don. Oh, yeah, just flop. Say goodbye.
He just flopped off.
Tough time flopping his hand to say goodbye, folks. Holy hell, folks. Don, thank you so much.
What a story, dude.
Yeah, I hope the documentary about you does get off the ground at some point, because what an incredible story.
I'll call Lynn and see if he wants to get in on that.
Yeah, call your friend Christopher Nolan. That's fine. I'll just call him.
We were going to talk later anyway.
Okay. Well, folks, very excited because this week we also are inducting a brand new headline into the headline.
Oh, wait. No. We got a sponsor. I forgot to put it
down. Oh, okay.
Sorry, we did get
nice.
A
another
sponsor,
folks.
Baby. Let the money roll in.
Beautiful.
I'll just paste the copy into like our little shared thing right here.
Okay, great.
Yep, there's a copy. They want you to read it, and they said, please read very emotional, much like Alabama Senator Katie Britt.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay.
Yeah, I think they like got excited because they were like,
it's topical,
viral.
It's relevant. Yeah, it's like, so we can rip on it a little bit. Okay, cool. Yep. That's great. Right. Well, here we go.
All right, so get into it.
All right, here we go. Right now,
oh my God.
Right now, the American dream has turned into a nightmare. Our families are hurting, and the prices of groceries, people can't even afford to buy wine and Oreos anymore. Thanks a lot, Biden. I feel like Don might have written some of this too. Which is why Nabisco and Barefoot have come together, oh my God, to introduce to you Barefoot Oreo Thins Red Blend Wine.
Yeah.
A real thing you can buy now. Look it up.
Mm-hmm.
Now hardworking families who are struggling to make ends meet can enjoy notes of oak, blackberry, and dark cherry combined with those delicious Oreo flavors of chocolate and cookie cream. It's the real American dream in a bottle.
And it says cry hard for 30 seconds.
The American people.
That was 10 seconds. 20 more seconds of crying, please. Now, like walking? No, Wilson. All right, move on.
The American people are scraping by, but now, thanks for Barefoot Oreo Thins Red Blend Wine, Americans can go back to eating, getting drunker and fatter than ever for one low, low price. So God bless you. God bless America. And may my vindictive partisan God not bless Joe Biden.
Wow, damn.
Bottoms up.
Wow, that was good. That was really good.
Okay, thank you so much. I guess maybe I learned a thing or two standing in for John Cena at the Oscars this week.
I'm telling you, it's like when that guitarist sold his soul. What was that guy's name at the crossroads?
Robert Johnson.
Robert Johnson.
Yeah, maybe
Robert
Johnson moment. I sold my soul to the devil. But I gotta say, I'm not gonna give Nabisco notes on the copy.
Mm-hmm.
Little political for a cracker company.
They're just trying to, it's advertising, dude. They're just trying to hop on the Katy Britt train, baby.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like pretty directly. I don't know. Look, who am I to judge? I don't know anything. I shouldn't pretend to know anything. But
they paid us, and that's fun.
They paid us, and that is fun. But folks, as I was saying before we got into that ad, very sorry for to derail the momentum there with that ad, but we got another headline this week that immediately upon reading it, we knew was going to be the second entrant into the headline Hall of Fame. That's right, folks. And this headline comes in from Scott on Instagram, who is also a new submitter.
What?
We are hitting a lot of new submitters.
Oh, my God, baby.
Scott, this one's for you. I'm now feeling self-conscious about how many times we've played this new submitter theme song in the last 2 weeks.
Not enough to answer.
Yeah, baby, not enough.
New reporter, baby.
That's right, folks. This headline takes its place in the Headline Hall of Fame next to what was the previous headline from our Headline Hall of Fame, buddy? Do you remember?
Oh fuck, I don't.
Do either one of us remember? Anyway, there's another headline that ended up in the Headline Hall of Fame weeks and weeks and weeks ago, but we aren't good enough at doing this to remember.
It's about a tree. It was sexy.
Yeah, there was something, somebody out there knows. Tweet at us, let us know in the spot. Hey, actually, in the Spotify comments this week, let us know what the other Headline Hall of Fame was. But this Headline Hall of Fame, again from Scott on Instagram, reads, Wisconsin man named D's Nuts arrested following disturbance.
Oh, what?
That's right, folks. Reading the article may even make it less funny, but it is the funniest thing in the world because 42-year-old D's Nuts Kroll
changed his name
was arrested on Tuesday night following an alleged incident with a BB gun on the east side of Green Bay, Wisconsin. Shout out Wisconsin.
Shout out Wisconsin. Maybe
Don Gorski maybe knows D's Nuts. The altercation started with an argument over the phone between Kroll and two unidentified people who showed up at his residence. D's.
You can't. It's hyphenated. You can't say D's. You have to say D's.
D's Nuts. The headline's in the Hall of Fame.
I'm fixing it.
The headline is in the Hall of Fame, but the article is not because they keep referring to him as just D's. But his whole name is D's Nuts. D's Nuts allegedly punched them with a closed fist in the shoulder. Important detail. A shirtless and appearingly intoxicated D's Nuts was brought into custody, and authorities also seized a loaded CO2 BB gun allegedly belonging to him. D's Nuts Kroll has been released on $1,000 bond.
Wow, D's Nuts, baby.
Yeah, yeah, that's incredible. That
what a
is
fun choice.
Yeah, honestly, both of these headlines... This one and the one in the previous headline, they're both great. Did you hear BOFA? I tried to do a BOFA.
BOFA? What is that?
Both of these nuts.
God damn it.
I did it. And you didn't even do it as a bit. You did it for real. Oh, that's beautiful, folks. You heard it here first.
I've never felt more fucking ashamed of
my life. Yeah, buddy's those the guy hurt, who dude. Does these nuts jokes,
those
and I just
hurt.
Got hit with a BOFA.
God, that hurts, though.
Yes. I got him with it. But folks, this is just incredible. This apparently this guy changed his name to D's Nuts. So his name wasn't D's Nuts at birth, which would be funny.
Yeah. It's but not an article, but his name was Huggins.
His original name was Huggins.
Huggins D's Nuts.
Oh, you fucking dick!
Right damn back it on you, baby. Damn right back
you
on
really
you.
You really got me. You got me.
Fuck yeah.
You did get
fuck
me.
Fuck yeah. Wow. I immediately feel better. It's fucking hell yeah.
Gosh, we are those guys, folks. We do these nuts jokes.
Gotcha.
Just now, just for this. It's not really who we are. But thank you so much, Scott, for sending us this headline. Yeah, and the dude. Headline Hall of Fame. If you remember what the other Headline Hall of Fame headline was, please reply to the Spotify.
It's a little embarrassing that we don't know what it is.
We should have put
it's
that
like
in the
tree
article.
Something about with a tree, sexy tree or something.
Something about the sexy tree. It was like a sexy tree thing. Let me see if
to search for
if I search
rundown
it. Let's see if we can find
tree
it. Wait, hang on. I think I may have found it. I think really? I might have found it. Let's see. Where are you? Yes.
What?
I did find it.
Nice.
So this headline now joins: giant tree limb crashes through organ man's roof, leaving massive log in his toilet.
Oh, so good.
In the Brett DeMott Show Headline Hall of Fame. Congratulations to these two headlines.
Great job, y'all.
Congratulations to the author of this headline, Alex Ocho, on Complex.com.
Yeah, this one wrote itself, though. It yeah could have been better, but yeah, the fact that D's Nuts was in it, he could have done more, but we're going to give it to him.
He did all right. But folks, that's all we got for... Whoa, my voice just went a little weird.
Jesus.
That's all we got for the show today, folks.
For this part of the show.
For this part of the show. But folks, as we said at the beginning of the show, this show's going to end right now. But if you want a little bit more Brett DeMott Show with Buddy, go to patreon.com/BrettDeMottShow.
We got a wild bonus headline, baby, coming up.
For $5, you can get access to a weekly bonus headline that will drop on Friday. Usually the bonus headlines may be a little bit more visual, maybe a little bit more risque, maybe just another funny thing that we saw that we thought was great that we didn't have time to fit into the show. But it'll be every Friday on the Patreon. Please go subscribe. We would love every ounce of support people could throw our way. We really, really appreciate everybody. And also, thank you for continuing to listen to the show for free. That's also a thing that you can do. Share the show. Sharing the show on social media, talking about it online, anywhere, is just as valuable to us as $5 on the Patreon. So please continue to send us all the articles that you see online. Continue to listen to the show. Continue to talk about us online. And watch this puppy shoot to the moon.
Whoa.
That's right, folks. We will be back next week. Same time, same place, same podcast app. And until that time, have a freaking good one.